Hello, this is Hugh Baird. I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Vincent Hughes, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Hughes or any of his guests this evening, you can press star 3, that's star 3 on your phone's keypad at any time. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Vincent Hughes.
Great. Thanks, Hugh, and thanks to everyone for participating on the call, and I'll pick up my phone. It's really important that we've had these conversations, and as you know, for our regulars who've been part of the dialogue over the last 12 weeks or so, we found this to be very important and very helpful to answer questions around COVID-19, around questions around voting and vote by mail, and everything we've had to deal with. And obviously, with a new issue taking place, a very significant issue taking place, we wanted to make sure that we got back on the phones and were able to communicate with everyone and try to answer as many questions as possible and try to get folks to think about how we go forward in the future. As always, we've got some very good guests to be with us to help us answer some of these questions. I'll call out their names in a minute. And ask them to say hi and make a brief introductory comment, and then we'll get right to questions. But, you know, look, this has been the last 96 hours have been, maybe even more than that, have been a very crazy time, a very wild time, a very heartbreaking time for all of us. And the only way we get through this is remembering, I think, that we're in this together and that the changes that have to be made together and that we always have to be in the business of searching out our best selves and not allowing other folks to take us down a wrong path and wrong road to go to the worst parts of us and the worst parts of our community and the worst parts of our souls. So it's in that context and in that thinking that we're bringing folks together through this vehicle, this telephone town hall, and we're trying to, as we always do, try to give out trusted messages from trusted messengers, and that will hopefully allow us to go forward as one community, because you all know as well as I do that we're all in this together. Some of us have more pressing issues, more pointed issues, more challenges, but we're all in this thing together to get to where we want to be, to get to the community that we want to have. It's work, and there are a lot of people working against us, but we're going to work harder to get to where it is that we want to be. So with that, always in position to help us figure out new issues or confront new information around the issues around COVID-19 and the coronavirus. We have Dr. Priscilla Posse, who is from Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Dr. Posse, why don't you say hi to everybody? It's not like this is a new audience for you, okay? You've been a regular with us. And just give us a couple minutes about what we need to be thinking about with COVID-19, with the events of the last week, have put us in a position where sometimes that pandemic that we're all suffering under, we're all living under, is still in place. Well, it is in place. It's still real. We still have to deal with it. Give us your thoughts about what we need to be thinking about going forward at this moment.
Absolutely. Thank you, Senator. Thank you for the invitation. And really, I applaud you for just convening this town hall on this discussion. And thank you all that have called in. It's really important, especially, again, as the Senator mentioned, in light of recent events and what's been occurring in the past week. Oftentimes, we want to step over talking about some of these issues, and it's really important to bring them to the forefront. So you mentioned the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic. I want to just briefly highlight another pandemic in this country, right, which is 21st century policing, especially of our communities of color. And that is actually another public health issue that we as physicians keep in mind. and many of you all as community members, why is that important to your health is because it could be impacting you mentally and emotionally. And so I certainly want to emphasize the importance of please making sure that you're around support systems, that you're reaching out to providers, family members, colleagues to really talk about how this may be impacting you and stressing you. We do focus on our mental health and wellness, especially during this time as we are also battling the COVID-19 pandemic. And so as we know now, we've been in lockdown for just over 8 weeks, and we are going to be reaching the yellow phase here in Philadelphia, so the next phase of the reopening. And so what does that mean? So I applaud again, Dr. Wolf has implemented color phase, a red, yellow, and green. And so as we go to the yellow, I am going to give the analogy as drivers, right? So red is a stop, yellow is a slowdown. So this is not meaning that we are going to be fully reopening, but taking slower precautions on those steps. So what does that mean for us as community members? So we will start to see more stores opening, retail stores. They will still have to do curbside or drive-through if they're restaurants. Retail stores that have external openings, right? So these are more of our department stores where you can exit, enter and exit from the same door where you do not have to walk through the actual mall. Those will be able to open. And then there'll be permission to have larger crowds of up to 25 people. Other than that, the restrictions are still in place in terms of encouraging people to stay at home if you are able to work at home if you are able to enact social distancing. With persons being 6 feet apart, and of course wearing face masks and appropriate hand hygiene at all times. And the question may be, well, why are we moving into the yellow? Why are we moving so slowly where we're seeing other states that, you know, have fully reopened are in what they call their green phase? And the reason why we have to remember here in Philadelphia and our surrounding communities is that we have a higher population density, which means we have more people. And with more people, we live within closer quarters. And then that allows for increased risk of exposure and infection. So we have to really, really ensure that we're not too quick to get back to what we would call our old normal, where once we start coming into large groups, we are now passing on the virus and then having that increased number go up. So I know that the health department will be paying especially close attention in these next couple weeks about how the numbers are, whether we're having cases, whether those numbers are going down. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but I know that many of us are, you know, stepping outside of our homes in order to really bring light to the issues, whether that's through protests, whether that's in community gatherings as well. And we certainly want to encourage everyone to use their voice. We certainly want everyone to express their frustration. We must be mindful, though, that as we do this, that we want to ensure that we are not in a position where we are compromising the health and wellness of our community, where we're seeing higher rates of infection that could be leading to hospitalization and death. So I know on this call we'll be talking about ways that we can express our voice, we can bring light to the issues, while also maintaining our health. That'll be really, really critical as we discuss in this hour and you all move forward. So again, I thank you all for your time. I'm here to answer any questions in regard to that, and I look forward to the dialogue with the panel members.
Thank you, Dr. Posse. Appreciate you. Appreciate your willingness to commit and be involved in this, not just when you get real long notifications, but when you get those less than 24-hour notifications. really, really, really do appreciate your involvement in helping us out. From the Philadelphia Police Department, we have Inspector Altafis Love Craighead, who is from the Community Relations Division of Philadelphia Police Department. And one group that's been challenged dramatically over the last week, I guess, or maybe 5 days, have been our friends in blue, who have that charge and have that responsibility of trying to keep us safe and trying to protect our communities. It has been a big challenge, big challenge. I am of the notion that there are certain bad actors out here who have taken peaceful demonstrations and purposely, consciously tried to flip them, and they have been successful in flipping them to become much more violent and much more disruptive. And like a match to straw, have caused fires to just grow very rapidly, and then those just seem to spread all throughout our community. But our police commissioner has been very open and very engaged in communicating with the public about what's going on and what their challenges have been and what they're trying to do going forward. And she asked if the inspector could be part of this conversation. So, Inspector Love Craighead, welcome to our telephone town hall. And if you could just give us your thoughts for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll introduce our last guest, and then we'll start taking questions.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for having me. Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw apologizes for not being able to attend. She had a conflict in her schedule. But I appreciate the opportunity to participate in the town hall. As you know, the last week has been a challenging week for the city and for the nation. And as we move forward, I know Police Commissioner Outlaw is set on making sure that the community is part of the discussion as we move forward in the changes that almost seem uncertain with the COVID upon us. And then with recent issues in community engagement, she's certainly committed to having community a part of the police department and creating opportunities for them to share how they feel and opportunities for us to work together. So I'll just say that, you know, if there's any questions that are asked that I cannot answer, I am definitely taking notes that I will be sharing with Commissioner Outlaw. And again, thank you for having me.
Great. Thank you, Inspector. Appreciate you. And appreciate you being willing to participate in this telephone town hall. Our final guest is someone who's also been part of these conversations in the past, Keira Bradford Gray, who's the chief defender from the Defender Association of Philadelphia. These are the lawyers who are on the front lines in our courts, making sure that those who cannot afford a defense get a defense and get a high-quality defense. And we really appreciate the work of Keira and her organization. It is a very challenging responsibility, and we're trying to help them meet that challenge and get the resources necessary to so that our defense bar has the best resources to appropriately defend those when they're in the courtroom. So, Keira, a friend, welcome to the telephone town hall, and take a couple minutes and just say hello to everybody and where your thoughts are in terms of, especially in terms of how to figure out how we go forward in this conversation.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Senator Hughes, for inviting me, and thank you to both your guests for what they said so eloquently. I can't believe that we're in the middle of a pandemic, and that's not the headline right now. So you know that we really have a lot of work ahead of us. One of the things that we are really singularly focused on at the Defender Office is looking at how the system as a whole, not just policing, really can create barriers for people that do not make our community safer. And so if the goal is public safety, we're trying to get rid of the things that are not advancing that and from the justice system and do things that really do advance people's ability to reacclimate into society, get jobs, and be a contributing member to that community rather than sucking from it. Some of the policies that we are working on, though, do start with some of the police activity because we do have a wing that looks at policing. And this is not a slight to the police because there are a lot of great police officers that want to get rid of bad actors, too, including the commissioner. And some of the reforms do help the commissioner weed out things that do not help protect public safety and protect her officers as well, as we see that they are really out here taking a beating as well because of all the civil unrest that is going on. But secondly, we have to look at our justice system practices and make sure that we're using our resources wisely and really focusing on the things that really go against the notion of public safety, meaning those crimes that are the nature that people would say that these are the crimes that the justice system should be dealing with because they really negate from public safety. But right now, we are going to have to deal with some of the unfortunate realities that our courts have been closed for a few months, and that means victims and people accused alike are going to get delayed justice. So what is that going to look like? And the policies that we have to create now are going to have to help us find ways to get cases processed so that victims have closure, so that defendants have closure, so that people get their day in court without lengthy delays at a cost to the taxpayers. And that has been the rub because our technology, and I mean technology as a whole, we, the defender, have good technology, thank you to Senator Hughes, but in any event, in terms of a system as a whole, getting cases moved is a big deal because every day the cases are delayed. That costs more dollars for us, and it does not allow people to move forward with their lives. And so I'm happy to answer any questions about where we are and what we're thinking, but I just wanted to put that out there that these are the things that we are thinking about and actively working on as the Defender Office works with the rest of the stakeholders. So thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to talking to you and answering any questions you may have.
Great. Thanks, Keir. Folks should know, and we appreciate you again, Keir, and all that you're doing. And, you know, maybe in the context of one of the questions we get, you can talk a little bit about the reforms that you and several others stood up. So you and Kevin Hardin and members of the legislature and city council on Tuesday, on Election Day, do a press event to talk about some of the reforms that you're looking at. So maybe in the context of some of the questions, you can hit on some of those points. Folks should know that the governor made some announcements today regarding his 21st century policing thoughts, and folks should go to the governor's website, and you can pull that up. Specifically, the governor has some latitude to do things, but some other things have to wait on state law to be passed to go into effect, which means it has to go through the legislature, the House, and the Senate. He's talking about creating a Pennsylvania State Law Enforcement Advisory Commission that reviews allegations of misconduct by incidents of misconduct within law enforcement agency under the governor's jurisdiction, creating a deputy inspector general within the Pennsylvania Office of State Inspector General focused on deterring, detecting, preventing, and eradicating fraud, waste, misconduct, and abuse amongst the law. Providing technical assistance to municipalities from the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency to encourage the creation of local citizen advisory boards, and a few other things that he has the executive authority to do. He's going to do that. And I believe the governor was probably inspired, like I think many of us were, on Wednesday evening, when we had about a 15-minute presentation from President Barack Obama, who talked about how we need to move forward and talked about how the work that he did in 2015 and 2016 with his 21st Century Police Commission looked at a number of issues in great detail and made at least 10 recommendations, if not more. And, of course, when the new gentleman entered the White House, he pretty much tore up that report and threw it in the trash and went on about his way of handling things. President Obama asked us to take a look at that report, and that commission that authored that report was chaired by former Police Commissioner Ramsey here in Philadelphia. There's a lot of good work, a lot of good time spent on that, so I recommend folks take a look at that as a way to go forward. Hugh, what's the message we want to send to everybody before we start taking questions?
If you need anything answered that we can't answer or one of Senator Hughes's special guests can't handle, which is very little, but there's still a lot there. You can call Senator Hughes's office and talk to Tiffany Wilson. And his number, Senator Hughes's office is 215-879-7777. I almost called it Senator Wilson's office. But if you need some help, call Tiffany, and she's at that number. So I think that's a good start for the call.
There you go. And, of course, SenatorHughes.com is our website. And if you have any questions, always press star 3 if you have any questions, and we'll get you in the queue. Right, Hugh?
Great. There are just two bits of housekeeping. Again, to follow up what Senator Hughes said, For those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Hughes or any of his special guests tonight, you can press star 3 on your phone's keypad. And just a quick reminder to our host here tonight, if you're not speaking, please put it on mute. We get oftentimes get background noise. It makes it difficult for folks that have joined us to hear the questions and the dialogue. So with that housekeeping, I think we're ready to go, Senator.
Very good. Go ahead, Hugh. Who you got?
Okay. Our first caller tonight, Senator, is Cecilia. Cecilia, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Cecilia's a regular caller. I know Cecilia. How you doing, Cecilia?
Fine, Senator. How are you?
Very good.
I'm going to be as brief as possible. My question was, how are we going to protect the businesses at 52nd and Jefferson? And the reason I say that, Senator, because I was there for about 3 hours. I got the footage. If anybody wants to see it, those were not hurt people. They were opportunists. As soon as that police cruiser left, and I found out from one of my church members who's in that 16th district that person was told to go to 52nd and Market, that's when the foolishness began. They just looting just to be looting. One person rammed his car into Lowe's and then opened up Lowe's, and then Lowe's was finished. And when I left at 6, it's a place called the Hair Buzz or Hair Biz.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The weave gone. One guy stole a hair dryer. I'm like, what do you want with that? Medical Center, they stole the flat screen TVs, because that's all the Medical Center got. But I do want to say that as long as they could, the employees from ShopRite, because they're from that neighborhood, and they were begging the people, please don't do anything. They did as much as they could until I left at 6 o'clock when I got on my phone about the curfew. Wow. And then I found out at some point, 9 o'clock, I guess they got families and they didn't want to get mixed up in the melee.
Right.
But at some point, and I want to end with this, I don't know how the police do stuff, and I'm not even going to pretend, but if that cruiser was allowed to stay there, I believe the 52nd and Jefferson Plaza would have been saved. But again, that person did what they was told, and at 4 o'clock, the police would have been ineffective, because what I caught on my footage was what I got on my footage. But they, again, I have friends that serve.
Mm-hmm.
They would have been hurt. They would have been overrun by the neighborhood. And at that point, just my opinion, you just let it ride until you let it ride.
Well, let me ask. Let's ask the inspector. In a situation like this, Inspector Cecilia, or anyone who might have taken any footage of any of these incidents, because they were around in several different places, not just in Center City, not just at 52nd Street, but there are a number of places all across the city and in some suburban communities. What would your request be, Inspector, to if someone's got footage that might be helpful?
Well, you know, we're collecting footage daily on the incidents that have happened in the city. And, in fact, my mother just called me today because her drugstore had been looted and she can't get her medicine.
Right.
And so we're trying to get her medicine from another pharmacy. I would ask anyone if they have any footage that we need to collect to call me. My number is 215-686-3380. Inspector Love Craig Hitt, 215-686-3380. I'll make sure we send someone out to get the footage. We could meet you somewhere if you don't want us to send someone there. You know, because oftentimes people don't want others to see that they're helping or participating with the police. So if that's an issue or a concern for you, we can make arrangements to make it happen and keep you safe.
Okay,
thank
Cecilia.
You for that. And then how are we going to protect that shopping center and all the shopping centers moving forward? Because even if they open, I don't want to go there and get caught up again. And so I know that if I'm going to shop right, because now I got to go all the way out in the suburbs to go food shopping, that I'm not going to get caught up in some foolishness.
Well,
let me
just say this, and I'll let the inspector talk about the protection. We know Jeff Brown, who obviously has a number of shop rights here in the city, and has been, you know, 40% of Jeff's employees are returning citizens. No business hires returning citizens like Jeff does. None. We know that he intends to reopen his shop right on Fox Street. in North Philadelphia tomorrow. We know that will open up tomorrow. He's already announced that. And we know that 52nd and Jefferson will open up on the 8th, which I believe is Monday. So I think that those are two good signs that people will be able to go back to work. I don't think there was any interruption in anyone's pay during this time period, but people will be able to go back to work as those stores will open up. And I know, and I have to say this to you, Inspector Love Craighead, because your mom trying to find, get her medicine prescriptions filled, I know that Jeff is talking about doing a kind of like a traveling prescription service. Where if folks were in this system, he'd figure out a way to kind of deliver their medicine to them. So I just wanted to say that. Inspector, do you have any thoughts on how these retail complexes will be protected going forward?
So, you know, each district has an operation plan that they follow, and I wouldn't know the specifics of each plan because they differ depending on the geography of the area, based on times and day, and based on the pattern of crime. But what I will say is that right now we do have an active curfew that has been implemented by the city. And so I would ask people to abide by the curfew time. And if you have to go out during times before the curfew and you don't feel comfortable, go with someone you know so that you can have someone with you or another set of eyes with you that can help. Make sure you have your cell phone available to you so that if you need to call 911, should you witness anything, you can do that.
Okay. Thank you, Inspector. Thank you, Cecilia. Hugh, who's next?
Senator, we're going to go to Elena. Elena, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests. Elena, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hello, Ms. Patterson. We're having a difficult time hearing you. Not too much better. Try it again.
Can you hear me now?
That's a little bit better.
Okay. I have a suggestion. In an effort to start to open up the dialogue with our young people, I would like to see, like, I guess, pop-up summits where we can start to, in the various neighborhoods in the city, North Philly, West Philly, South Philly, Mount Airy, Germantown, and Southwest Philly, and so on, where we can have representatives from areas of business, commerce, politics, your trade industry, your carpentry, your electricians, your auto body people, so that they can see that you don't always have to go to college to become successful, so that they can see that it is possible for you to achieve whatever you want to do in life, because our young people are hurting and they need to be able to speak and give us and tell us what is on their mind. What do they need? What do they want?
Mm-hmm.
Do they know how to say what is in their heart? I mean, all areas of life, I would like to see some kind of representation in like various locations, maybe in churches around the city, community centers, schools, areas that people can come and gather and just hear what's going on. What did they do to be a lawyer, be that doctor, be that politician, be that beautician,
mm-hmm.
be that successful mother of three or five or whatever it is, the dad, that's the engineer, the
So your idea, Ms. Patterson, is to have these listening sessions all around the city and really focus on young people and hear what is on their mind, correct?
Yes, that we can start to get them involved, get them thinking outside
mm-hmm.
of just what they're thinking ahead, thinking that there's life beyond right here and now, because most of them are just centered on in the moment.
Well, I like the idea. I like the notion. Before I let any one of my three guests, you know, answer this one, I would just suggest this. You know, we don't need to wait on some big group of big shots or medium shots, all right, to organize listening sessions. We can do that. Each one of us can do that on our own, listening to the plights and concerns, especially of our youth, to give them a vehicle to speak and talk about what they're thinking about, and to listen and hopefully respond in some positive fashion to get them the help they need or to answer the questions that they have. So anyone can do that, and we all should be about the business of doing that. But I'll let any one of my three guests. I'm not gonna pick them. So Priscilla,
yeah,
go ahead.
I would like to take that up, Senator Hughes. I think that's an excellent idea. But here's what I would say too with that. You know, oftentimes these kids don't have dreams and goals anymore because they don't see themselves in certain positions. And I think that we need to take people who look like them and show them that we are you. We came from the same place as you. There's nothing special or unique about us other than we had dreams and people helped us get to our goals. Some of these youth did not know what it took to be a lawyer. And you know, let me tell you something, I didn't either. I didn't think I had the credentials or the pedigree to be a lawyer because I didn't know anyone who was a lawyer that I could connect with. And sometimes it's us kind of coming into these spaces, but not being someone who they can't identify with, you know, dressed up and polished and talking very, you know, superficial to them. Sometimes it's letting them know, yes, I did horrible in math. I did horrible in science. But what I knew is that I had to graduate to get to college to do certain things if I wanted to go to college. And if I didn't, there were other people that made just they were very successful doing what they did. But I see right now kids have a lack of the fact that kids are not dreaming, that's a problem. The fact that kids aren't seeing people and in spaces where they can identify with, where they can emulate, where they can connect with, that's a problem. And then when we do go in there, to make sure that we don't separate ourselves from the things that they're going through, and we make sure that we tell them where we come from and get on their level so that they want to join us. They can see themselves in our shoes. And I think that should go on, like Senator Hughes said, routinely. But I do think that when people are picked and chosen to do that, to lecture at kids is going to be something that is a turnoff. To give them opportunities to let them know that this too is possible for you, and here's why, because I had the same struggles you did, that's where you may be able to spark something in someone to make them say, you know what, I can do this, and I want to do this, and it's not going to be hard for me to do that because of where I come from. So I appreciate that, and I'd be willing to do more of that, but you know, like I'm not a medium shot or a big shot. I'm just a chief defender, and I think that I think that it's really good to see people like us coming to tell people that these are possible.
I'd like to jump in too.
Sure.
You know, kids have challenges, and sometimes they feel like those challenges are earth-shattering or life-shattering. And, you know, when you have an opportunity to share with them that you've been in high school, and I actually had to go to summer school one time, but that didn't define what my career path was going to be. That didn't mean it was going to be the end for me. And so to encourage kids and allow them to understand that one moment in your life doesn't mean that your life has ended, or it doesn't mean that your life is defined by that one moment. You know, I went to high school, and I had to go to summer school for chemistry. You know, who thought? And, you know, here I am in a male-dominated field. And so for women, for girls to see an African-American female in the police department, I'm the only female inspector in the entire police department. And so I think it's important for them to see people like us so that they would know that you can achieve despite what happened in your childhood. I grew up in a home with domestic violence. My brother was murdered, actually, in the city of Philadelphia 20 years ago. And so, but still, those challenges have pushed me and motivated me to want more, to do more. And like like Ms. Bradford said, to dream.
Wow. Good response. Good response. Wow. Hugh.
Yes.
Who's next? Well, I think I got it. Poor Tiffany, she's going to hear about it when we talk about these listening sessions for young people. Okay. Oh, boy. Here we go. But it's the right idea. I've been hearing this message consistently since Monday, all right, that this idea about creating vehicles and places and spaces for young people to talk about what it is they're going through and to figure out where they can get some help. And we've got to be more proactive about providing those environments for them. And so there you go, some of the summer work that we're going to be doing. All right, Hugh.
Okay. Just a reminder for those that have joined us, if you have a question for Senator Hughes or any of his guests this evening, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, before we go live, we had a request of someone who doesn't want to go live for Kira's phone number and the Defenders Association phone number. So, Kira, if you could provide that would be appreciated.
Absolutely. It's 215-56. Well, I should ask this. It depends on what they want it for. I can give them different avenues to achieve what they want. If they want to just talk to a lawyer about what's going on with a loved one's case or someone's case, then that's a different number. Could I email you all the different ways to contact us and connect with us, and you can hand it out?
That would be perfect. If you email Senator Hughes's office, you can email
yep.
Tiffany Wilson at Senator Hughes's office, and the caller who he does not want to go live, he can call the senator's office and have those numbers available. I think that would work.
I would tell the caller this. If he wants to go on, our website has a question and answer where you can put in a question and you will get routed to an attorney who will respond. You can go to www.philadefender.org, and it will take you to our COVID question and answer template where you can type in whatever you want. If you don't have internet, you can always call 215-568-3190, and your call will be returned. The quickest way is to get it by internet, but we will return your call by via phone. But I'll send you some other ways, Senator.
Thank you very much, okay. Kira.
Thank you very much. Senator, let's go back to the callers. Part of this question is for Dr. Posse. So, Senator, we're going to go to Milton. Milton, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Hey, Milton.
Thank you, Senator Hughes, for taking
all
my
right.
call. I
thank
have
you.
Two questions, two points I'd like to make. One is to the doctor. I'll support the protest, except for the looting part. Given the large protest that's going on, do you think the spike in COVID is going to rise? And the second question is, Senator Hughes, can you propose a bill that would allow the governor to appoint a special prosecutor that will look at police brutality and police shootings? Thank you.
Go back to the first one, and Dr. Posse, you're up first, and then I'll answer the second one.
Yes, Milton, that is the question that all of us are asking this week. That is the question, right? So when we look at the protests and these peaceful protests and appreciating the community members coming out to use their voice, you cannot social distance. Right, and these aspects is very difficult. And so we know the research and the data has shown when we social distance, when we can be at least 6 feet apart, even further apart, that significantly decreases the chance for spread of infection. And so when we're seeing these crowds, and unfortunately we are seeing community members who are not wearing masks, that of course is going to increase the likelihood that people will spread the infection. Now, one of the challenges with COVID-19, and some of you may be familiar with this term, is that we have asymptomatic carriers. What does that mean? You've been around someone that had the virus, you caught the virus, but you don't have symptoms. You feel well, you're walking around, but you still have the chance to pass it along to other people. And so this is our concern, right, is that there are people out there who may not know that they have been infected because they're feeling well, they're going out, they're not wearing masks, they're in these large crowds, and although for a great cause, it is putting those at risk. And so what we are asking people to do is find innovative and unique ways to still get their message out there. So one of the ways is being on these calls, these virtual discussions, reaching out to your elected officials, letting them know your concerns that you have, reaching out to the police department. I think our police department has been great in engaging in conversations with our community members, talking to your family members about how to approach these aspects. calling into news stations, sharing your stories. There are still ways that we can amplify our voice without having to be in large crowds. Again, it's hard for us to know. Will we see a spike? You know, I'm not a fortune teller. I can't look into a crystal ball. And usually it takes about 2 to 3 weeks for us to know what an infection rate will be 2 to 3 weeks prior. So if we do see a spike, we would not see it until the middle of June. However, that could also be attributed to the fact that we're moving into the yellow phase of the reopening. So Milton, I think it's a great question that you asked, and it's not just asking that question, it's how can we progress forward to still allow people to fight for social justice, to get their voice out there, but not put their lives and the lives of community members at risk. And so again, I would welcome our panel members who are more in that civil sector, you know, to give their thoughts on that as well. I'll allow Senator Hughes to answer the second part of that question. But I do think it's important that we allow our community to give their voice, but yet do it in a way that's safe for everyone.
Thanks, Dr. Posse. And on the issue on your second part of your question, Senator Art Haywood from the 4th Senatorial District, which is mostly Mount Airy, Chestnut Hill, Germantown.
Into
the suburbs, introduced a bill that I co-sponsored I believe, the Attorney General to take over investigation of a what we call a police-involved shooting. So that bill was out there. In fact, I think that was the very first bill Senator Haywood introduced when he came to the Senate. Hugh, you might remember that because he had a press.
I do. I remember reading. Yeah. I remember doing some press work on that, yes.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. So, yes, there is legislation that is around for that, and we need to, you know, push that, and we need to, you know, get some more conversation going on about that. And put that part of an overall program that I know the governor is interested in with respect to how we can move our law enforcement situation, as we like to call it, into the 21st century, kind of following the guidelines that President Obama put out in his commission in his Blue Ribbon Report back in 2016. So there you go, Milton. Hugh, who you got next, sir?
We're going to go to Dawn in West Philly. Dawn, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Good evening, Senator. How are you, sir?
Good evening, sir. How you doing, man?
Call on behalf of my mom, Liz Petrovic, and myself. I have a question for a uninsured business. How would they go about, or is there a fund for recovering the damages and getting the store repaired from vandalism? And
Wow. So that's probably... Unless any one of our guests has got any good information for Don on that one, it's probably an issue if you don't have any insurance. And these are damaged as a result of the issues over the last couple of days?
Yes, not myself, but business owners that I know.
Okay, all right. So probably the best thing to do is to give us a call directly, all right, in the office. Ask to speak to Tiffany Wilson.
Yeah.
She's monitoring the calls right now, 215-879-7777, or email us at senatorhughes.com. We will try to deal with that. That sounds like an issue that we need to jump into on a one-on-one kind of situation, okay?
Yeah.
Because each one of those incidents, each one of those issues are different, and so let's talk about that directly, okay?
And the second part was a comment. I just wanted to... thank and congratulate you, Senator, the doctor, and particularly the inspector and the staff. I know the inspector outlaw has a tremendous challenge on her hands. And in light of the situation that's going on, I know there are good officers and bad officers, but the way they handled it, this could have been a lot of injuries and possibly fatalities if the police had handled those situations here in Philadelphia differently. And I commend them on their stance, because they were totally outnumbered in the situation. And I applaud them. And I just want to tell you guys to keep up the good work, including the law offices that's involved. And thank you for this opportunity on this town hall meeting, because I've been on about half a dozen calls. And they've always been informative.
Great, great. Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
Thank you for complimenting us. We appreciate that.
See, Inspector, how you like that? Okay.
Dawn, thank you very much. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. Let's go to Ashley. Ashley, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and Guest.
Hi. Thank you, Senator Hughes, for allowing me. So basically, on Election Day, a proposal for the police reform was presented, and basically, there were several politicians that were involved with this proposal. It was just to name a few: House Representative Jordan Harris, State Rep Morgan Cephas, Councilman Kenyatta Johnson. And basically, I just wanted to know, as a millennial, how can I get more involved with, you know, criminal justice reform, especially with this new proposal that was presented to us. And I wanted to know, how can I get on the Citizen Advisory Board?
That's a question we're going to have to explore. Ashley,
I could answer that.
Okay, go ahead. There's an answer. There you go.
Yes. So I thank you for that question. I'm one of the people that are part of the Reform Commission. And, you know, some of the reforms, I want to make sure, Inspector, that I give, you know, you guys all the due respect that you require. These reforms are to help all of us, including the police officers that want to do the best job. And so what we are doing when we came out with it is that we started to come out with different policies, but we are going to have build coalitions and listening sessions and get volunteers to help. So that is coming, forthcoming in a few weeks, information about how you can help. We will definitely send it out to Senator Hughes to send out to his constituents to get involved, but that is coming soon. We just needed to get together and really come up with what are the issues, and so then we can move forward on real progressive change and some of the transparency around discipline and accountability. And that's really what this is about. This is a situation where the justice system as a whole has never really been accountable for the things that it's destroyed. And, you know, people are accountable when they come into the system for the things that they destroyed, but the justice system as a whole has never really been accountable for their actions. So I think greater transparency and accountability can keep us all a little bit more honest, can have a little bit more public trust to it, and it can go a long way. And so thanks for your willingness to get involved. We need you, and we will be sending that information out pretty soon.
Great. Thank you. And Ashley, that's 215-879-7777, and of course our website is senatorhughes.com. There's a way for you to send an email to us through that fashion. Hugh, next question.
Yep. Roz from West Philly. Roz, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Thank you. I wanted to say, first of all, thank you, Senator Hughes, for your proactiveness in dealing with the issue this week instead of having a town hall next week or the weeks to come. And thank you for your guests as well showing up and taking part in this town hall. So I wasn't able to hear one of the questions that I had because the call I was asked to give my question. So if you don't want to repeat it, I can just call Tiffany for all things, right, Tiffany, and get the answer.
Call Tiffany.
Call Tiffany. But I will ask my other questions. So one of my concerns is with the elderly and those who unfortunately do not have public transportation available or even private car service transportation to go to pick up their prescriptions because of the pharmacies that have been looted and are closed. So I was wondering, is there a way that we could utilize the ward leader, since they have the street list, and then the other organizations that could come alongside, be it the organizations of faith or the community organizations, and maybe on your website or some way of communicating how we can reach those individuals so that we could maybe pick up their prescriptions for them or convert their prescriptions to mail order if that is a option through their providers. Maybe some of them have social workers or folks like that that can step in, because I am concerned that they're not going to get their medicines.
Right. Right,
and actually,
right.
I have an elderly grandparent, but I was able to go to the CVS at Target in Springfield and pick up her prescription.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So that's one question. The other was just asked about being a part of the commission, because I know the community needs to be a part of the solution as well, and not just our leader. So I will be looking on your website to also be a part of the commission for reform. And other than that, you guys are doing a good job. And one question I wanted to know is, what is the safety plan for when the businesses open back up, and while they're actually doing the construction to open back up, when the seniors as well as non-seniors go back to do their shopping in our neighborhood, in our community, what is the safety plan? Will we have the National Guard there or what during that time? Because I don't want to see this happen again while our businesses are being rebuilt and the kids come right back because there isn't that presence of law enforcement.
So I'll let the inspector get to that one in a second. What I'd like to have happen, Roz, if you have a set of individuals that probably need some assistance with respect to getting their prescriptions filled, reach out again to Tiffany, all right? We're working, as I say, with Jeff Brown and his network. Of trying to create like a mobile, like a van kind of situation where we take orders and then get them delivered that way. That might be an easy way to help in this, bridge the time frame until those stores get reopened.
Okay. Senator, I can jump in quickly about the prescriptions as well.
Go ahead, Doctor.
I think you bring up a great point that there are actually many insurance companies that are working with our pharmacies to convert prescriptions to mail order. This was, of course, prior to this week. This was because they were trying to limit the number of patients, particularly elderly patients, going into the pharmacy. And so what I would first suggest is also, again, I know that it's in this time where your mother's specific pharmacy had been looted, you may want to actually look at the mail order option, you know, for the rest of this year. So you can call your insurance company and ask if that can be converted. And it's usually, mail order is usually a 90-day supply. So that's great. So a lot of insurance companies have been doing that. The other option, and that's for anyone on the call, is if you do have a pharmacy that is adjacent to you where you can get to, that is open and has medications, pharmacies can always transfer prescriptions. So that's something you should always know. Like when, even if you're traveling out of the state, you can get your prescription that way. All they need to do is one pharmacist picks up the phone and calls the other one. So those are options as well. If you are in a time-sensitive aspect, that is an approach. So I know that Senator will look into some of the more local navigation aspects, but please know that pharmacists are always available to navigate options so patients can get their medication.
Great. Thank you, Doctor. Inspector Love Craighead, anything on the security issue around some of these stores as they build to reopen?
Right. So I don't have the exact plan. You know, things are changing and moving very swiftly. They have canceled our days off, so we will be working on our days off. My days off fall on Saturday and Sunday. I will be at work. And so we will have all the boots on the ground during this issue, you know, during the unrest. And, you know, the specific plan, I don't know, but I can reach out to get more specific information to see if I can get that provided to the senator. But as I said, they have canceled days off, and so there will be a lot of police around.
Do we anticipate, has there been any conversation that you can share publicly about the presence of the National Guard and how long they might be sticking around to assist in securing our communities?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how long they will be here. I'm sure that too probably changes as we gather more information about what's going on around the city. You know, we've had several protests around the city, and so that too can play a part in whether or not they'll stay around. I'm not exactly sure, but I will definitely ask to see if I can provide more specifics on that.
Great. Maybe that's more of a public announcement from our commissioner on that piece, because I know it's a question that everyone has. We've heard from a lot of individuals about some welcoming the presence of the National Guard to help, you know, shore up the police department that's been you know, very challenged in this period. Challenged not so much from the protests, but challenged from the you know, the folks who are just causing way too much mayhem. All right, and I'm being kind with my words here. And then there's some folks who say, well, it's good to hear, but, you know, we don't necessarily, the idea of having, you know, National Guard patrolling the neighborhoods is not necessarily the most pleasing option, but they have provided an additional level of security and created an environment where some of these stores can be rebuilt. So we'll wait to get some more information on that as we go forward. Hugh, I know we're getting tight up on time, and I know our friend Laura is beating us up about that. Let's take another question. All right.
Okay. Before we take the question, Senator, just a reminder, we did have a submitted request that the report that you cited from President Obama be available. Will that be available on your website? The constituent is interested in reading that report. It indicated the president noted that, you know, back in 2016, there was a commission reported, 15, and there was a commission reported. And there was a question submitted. Would that report be available? I was thinking probably on your website.
We will put it on our website, and mm-hmm. and to the folks who are responsible for that, who are paying attention to this call, Wes Robinson, and this is not Tiffany's responsibility, okay? This is Wes's responsibility.
I was hoping we'd have somebody listening that could do that. So,
well, they've been texting me throughout the call, so yes, they're paying attention. So we'll get it on our website. Absolutely, it's
okay.
Very, very important, and it's a good guideline coming from President Obama. So, you know, I'll take his word. Never mind. I don't want to get too political here on this call. All right. Okay, I'll take his word for it. That's for doggone sure. All right, Hugh, who you got next, man?
Okay, we're going to go to Sharon. Sharon, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Hey, Sharon.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Great, great. My question was, and thank you for taking my call. My question was, in light of what has happened in the last week or so, how are policemen trained to deal with people who don't struggle and resist arrest? How are they trained? Because apparently they're not responding in a way that people can survive their arrest.
Inspector, you have any thoughts on from Sharon's question? Do you need her draw? You need to draw it out a little bit more.
Yeah, because I'm not sure I understand it.
Yeah, in light of what has happened in Minnesota. And the man did not resist arrest, but they put him on the ground, which I thought, well, why put him on the ground? He wasn't resisting arrest. And then they put the man put his knee on his throat, and you know, he still wasn't resisting arrest. He was just asking him, you know, let me breathe, you know. So how are police trained to deal with people who don't struggle against them?
And so, yeah, Inspector, I think that goes to the issue of, you know, proper training, all right?
Yeah.
Some departments have good training and some departments don't have good training. Can you walk through the whole training piece for Sharon and our listeners?
Yeah, I can't, you know, I can't really speak on what they did in Minneapolis. Each department in each state, they have different laws and different training. But we, you know, they train us on control holds that we may have to use. And there are some areas that we are not allowed to get into. You know, we're not allowed to use control holds on certain areas of the body. We already know that the neck and the chest are very vulnerable to issues that could create asphyxia. But we are also trained in crisis intervention. And so when people who may not necessarily be physically resisting but can be somewhat excited or, you know, verbally excited, we have training to try to de-escalate that before it even becomes physical.
And are most of those standards set at the department level? Are they set at the state level? Or does each department have, you know, we'll talk about it in Pennsylvania because Minneapolis is Minneapolis. Do we is the training standard set at the state level or is it set at the local level?
I would say both. We have a Municipal Police Officers Education Commission who does our annual training that we must take every year. And those change or could be updated based on current trends or new laws. But in addition to that, the actual physical hands-on training, we do that actually in Philadelphia at our police academy.
Okay. Okay. All right.
And then
so,
we also have a citizens police academy where you can actually learn some of the tactics that we use.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's interesting. That's interesting. I know that we are exploring the issue of training from the state vantage point because I think that one of the ideas is to make sure that our law enforcement folks have the best training available to them and that they're taking advantage of it and we're encouraging it. And, you know, I know it always comes down to a question of cost, who's going to pay for it. I think there's value in the state assisting local law enforcement to make sure those tabs are covered. Is nothing like having great policing with the best trained individuals, great law enforcement, best trained individuals, being really up to speed on what's good, what's not good, how to apply, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. And if law enforcement doesn't have access to it because they can't afford it, I think the state has a responsibility to step in and help out. So, but there'll be more to report on that hopefully in the coming weeks. We'll be talking about that hopefully sooner rather than later. Hugh, I'm looking at it's 7:19. I know we're way over time.
Yep.
Let's try one more call and then we'll have to finish it up. And this has been a very important conversation. This will not be our last conversation on the issue.
Okay. Senator, let's go to Robert. Robert, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Oh, Senator Hughes.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing fine, man.
I had a couple of questions. I wanted to talk about first, I wanted to commend the Philadelphia Police Department because, you know, as you know, I've been dealing with this issue about this pardon, and it goes back to an incident that happened in 1974 under Rizzo's racist regime where I was 18 and three of my brothers were 14, 15, and 16. We were arrested by the police in front of our home and taken to the 39th Police District right there, 22nd Hayden Park, and beaten by about 30 white officers. And they kept telling us, you're lucky you're not dead, you're lucky you're not dead. So that was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the police department here, has made a lot of strides as far as, things like that not happening, not even things that happened in Minneapolis. So I just want to commend the inspector on that.
Mm-hmm.
But my next question is, as one of our lawmakers, what is the long-term plans to address the concerns of these demonstrators? And I don't mean just the George Floyd thing, because there a lot of them out there are for that was the match that lit the fuse. But I think the coronavirus has stripped away the inequities in our society, and until we change those inequities, nothing's ever going to. We can't go back to business as usual.
No,
because business as usual is what got us here.
Didn't work.
And the corporations and the rich who have a stranglehold on this country, and the lack of opportunity. And I heard some of your guests say, well, maybe they need to see people that look like them. No, it's much more than that. You know, they're out there because young and old, rich and poor, white and black, because there's no opportunity in this country anymore. And we've let these rich and the corporations just run this country into the ground. And that's what we need to really change. If you really want to talk to those young people and see why they're out there, that's the reason they're out there. You know, they go to college and they come out, they got hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of student loans.
Yep.
You have situations where colleges are paying college coaches $15, $20 million a year to coach sports. You have our municipalities building stadiums and football state arenas for rich billionaire owners. And because, I'm out there every week feeding people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple sleeping in a tent at 46 and Market while we're building stadiums for football teams. And those inequities have got to change.
They've got to be addressed. got to
and it's gonna, and it's going to take a lot of work. You know, these young people, I think they're going to keep going. And we're underestimating them. We think that they're going to run out of steam. But
well, let me say this, Robert. I'm gonna jump in, and any of the guests can jump in as well. But I'll start the conversation off, and then we're going to have to finish up in a minute. This problem that we're having has to be addressed at multiple levels. Okay, you know, Dr. King reminds us that. Riots and unrest are the voice of the unheard. Okay, and we've got to listen to what they're saying. And a number of us have been trying to get people to pay attention to these inequities for quite some time, and we've only made a little bit of progress. We need to make more. And you know, maybe the environment that we're in right now will have more folks paying a greater level of attention to these. At the same time, we cannot be in the business of tearing down our community while we're trying to change these issues and deal with these issues. You just can't be in that situation. We've got to utilize the power that we have and make folks pay attention. There may be a selective boycotts or economic boycotts or things like that that are focused, that will get people's attention in a different kind of way than some of the violence that has occurred. Protests, we got to continue to protest. But we have to add policy at the end of the protest. What is the change that we want to make while we're protesting? I think that's very, very, very important. We've got some policies in Harrisburg that have been around for a little bit. Now maybe they'll get a little bit more attention. We've got some policies at City Council that have been around a little bit. Maybe they'll get more attention. In fact, Keir was with state legislators and City Council people on Tuesday talking about a package that the House members and some City Council members have put out in a very public fashion. We'll be picking up on those in the Senate. We'll advocate for those as well. And, you know, we got to keep pushing. You know, this racism is part of the DNA of the United States of America. All right, it's cooked into the books of this country. And for my three guests, I said it. Neither one of you had to take responsibility for it. That's my language. Okay, it's in the DNA. It's just there, and we've got to do our job day after day to weed it out, to get rid of it. And some days we'll make big gains, and some days we will make little gains, and some days it's just going to be even. But we got to keep working at it, and I'm very happy to see all of these young people fully activated and fully engaged. I hope they do two things. I hope they do three things. Keep it up. Maintain social distancing for Dr. Posse there, okay? And wear their mask. And register their behinds to vote, okay? Yes. And, in fact, on that first Tuesday in November, make sure they vote like their life depends upon it, because it does, and it will. Those are the three things that we're urging. Those are the three things we're advocating for. And it's 7:26, and we should have been off this call 16 minutes ago. And I'm going to get in trouble from the bosses, but that's okay. It's too important a conversation, and this will not be the last time. This will not be the only time that we're having this dialogue. Real quick, I'm going to ask the inspector, the lawyer, and the doctor, say 1 minute to close up. If you got information, contact numbers, anything like that you want to put out, now's the time to do it. Inspector, you're first.
Once again, my name is Altavis Love Craighead. My phone number is 215-686-3380. You can find me on Twitter at PPD Altavis Love. Thank you for allowing me to participate.
Thank you, Inspector. Appreciate you. Keir Bradford Gray, what you got?
Thank you so much, Senator Hughes, for inviting me. I want to tell all of you that our office is committed to working more with communities to give them inside information that we have access to that has not been transparent about the system, so they understand what they can do. And we are really committed to doing that. We will start doing more in Senator Hughes in your district in terms of know your systems training, but also understanding what parts of the system can be infiltrated and intervened by community members to have better outcomes for everyone. One last thing I would like to touch upon, the gentleman's comment. It was very well thought out, and I appreciate it. I want to do say this. When people have solutions that may work in certain spaces, all of them should be welcomed. I mean, there's nothing to negate about the power of being present. So you never know who you may touch when you are there, people who look like them that are in certain spaces that they never envisioned themselves being in. You never know what you may ignite in someone. It may not work for everyone, but it is a solution that has to go hand in hand with other things. So to the woman that suggested that, thank you so much. And I do think that that needs to be a part of a number of different solutions.
Great. Thank you, Kira. And Dr. Posse, you got the last word. You always seem to get the last word, Doc. What you got?
Just today, thank you. I first want to say it's been a pleasure being on this town hall with my guest panelists here, just realizing that we're all women here and just appreciate just their leadership in our community. So thank you to the both of you for joining us this evening. I want to just underscore again the importance of staying safe and being healthy and protecting our community. Staying safe, being healthy, protecting our communities. As we begin to reopen Philadelphia, we know that each of you are looking forward to getting back to work, to engaging in the community, getting back to school, being outdoors. Please make sure to wear your mask. Please make sure to social distance, right? We are moving into the yellow, which means we need to take it slowly to make sure that we're progressing in the right direction. So I really encourage you to continue to maintain the protocols that we have in place. And our health department will continue to track numbers. And as numbers are better, we will continue to move forward. And something that we have been saying among healthcare professionals is the more that we stay apart, the more that we stay together in this process to overcome the COVID-19 pandemic. So please, please remember that. Stay safe, be healthy, and protect our communities.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Posse. Thank you so very much. Hugh, we're going to wrap it up here. Any closing comments, thoughts that you need to make sure that I get out there to everybody, aside from Tiffany Wilson?
Not just if you have a question for Senator Hughes or his guests, or and you're still on the line and you didn't have a chance to ask your question, you can remain on the line. You'll be able to leave a question on a voicemail for Senator Hughes and his staff, and they'll get back to you. Just as more housekeeping, Senator, again, your office number is 215-879-7777, or Senator Hughes' website is senatorhughes.com. So
there you go. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you. Stay tuned. We'll be doing another one of these again very soon. Thank you so very much. Be safe. 6 feet. Put your mask on. Wash your hands. Okay? Thank you very much.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for joining us for Senator Hughes' Telephone Town Hall. Enjoy the rest of your evening.